So this story from Acts comes after Judas dies. Judas is one of the 12 disciples. Judas dies. Jesus is crucified, and then he's resurrected, and then he's raised up, and he leaves them. So who's left are the 11 disciples and then other believers. The 11 disciples felt like they were short one. We had 12. We were together with Jesus. Jesus is no longer with us, and there's only 11 of us. We felt incomplete. So we have to pick one more. One more witness is what they say. And then they had to figure out, okay, well, if we pick one more, you know, there's lots of other believers. So you have to pick one more. How do you decide which one? You want the richest one? The tallest one? The smartest one? They talked about it and they said, well, first of all, the criteria is we need someone who was with us from the beginning, who witnessed all of it. From the baptism by John the Baptist for Jesus until the resurrection. Who witnessed all of this? So they settled on two. And it's funny that the first one, they said, okay, we got two. There's two possible. And the first one has three names. Scripture says, they proposed these two. Joseph, who was called Barsabbas, and who was also known as Justice. It's kind of odd. He has three names. And the other guy was Matthias. He only had one name. So there's these two, and they said, okay, these two meet the criteria. They were witnesses from the very beginning until the end. These are the two. How are we going to decide? Well, they had an unusual thing back then, which is called casting lots. Now, we're not exactly sure how that was actually done. Some believe that the casting of lots is, you know, you kind of have a bag with, you know, like all white rocks and then one black one or something. And you pick until the one who gets the odd rock gets it. Or maybe there's another way. It's almost like flipping a coin or throwing dice. It's casting lots, and this decides whoever gets it is the one who gets the job. But before they cast a lot, they pray and they say, God, you know which one. So the belief is that in the casting of lots, God decides, not people. And that's how they chose. They chose one to be a witness, and they chose Matthias, or the lot went to Matthias. They chose someone to become a witness with them. Witness. It is both a verb and a noun. A verb is an action, and a noun is a thing or a person. You could witness something, the act of witnessing, the action of witnessing. I saw it, I witnessed it. Or you could be a witness. The court calls you to be a witness, to tell what you saw. What is a witness? It's someone who sees or hears or knows because you were present or you participated. An example, I witnessed the accident. You saw it. Or you came and you were a witness to our wedding. You participated, you saw it, you could testify. Many, many court trials have witnesses. And in fact, the way you show your case in court is you produce so many witnesses that it's obvious what the decision should be. Or like I said, the witness is a noun, a person. You are an individual who was present. You personally saw something. What's the term that we use? You were an eyewitness. You saw it. All right, I want to conduct a little experiment, and this means you have to get up out of your chair. Okay, so I want you to, everybody come forward. I have seven things underneath this towel. I am going to lift the towel. I want you to try to memorize what seven things are there. I will give you 5 seconds. Plenty of time. 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000. Who can tell me what seven things were there? Nobody? What? No, one person tell me all seven. Rope, calculator, scotch tape, $1 bill, pencil, eyeglasses.
Okay, one for one other person.
What? Charging cord or something? A car. Ta-da!
Oh,
yeah. You are all witnesses. But what's interesting is probably not all of us would have gotten everything. So how accurate of a witness are you? Maybe individually, no, but if everybody together, okay, thank you. Back to your seats. Maybe that's why the 12 said we have to have 12 witnesses with us. So all of us together can get the whole story about Jesus. No individual has it all. In fact, the Bible uses the term witness 200 times from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The prophet Isaiah, right? A prophet is someone who speaks for God. The prophet Isaiah used witness several times. In Isaiah 43, he says, God says, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand." Isaiah also says, "Do not fear, do not be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one." Jesus even said it to his disciples. At the very end of Luke's gospel, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses to these things." Jesus told the disciples that they were going to be his witnesses. And so the disciples, when they gathered, said, we are, and they had to choose one more. You already were told that after this service, we're going to go over to the TM service. And you're going to join the rest of the church, and you're going to have a meeting of the congregation. And the purpose of the meeting is to vote on whether to call the Reverend Fred Lee as the next pastor of your church. It seems like we're like this church in Acts, where the disciples said, we need another witness. Your current pastor, Reverend Tsai, he's just temporary. And your pastor nominating committee has been working like the early disciples to see who was going to be the next witness. Now, they didn't use casting lots to decide. They did stuff we do today, which is called, you look at a resume and you interview people and then you decide. And you're going to use a method called voting to decide. We're going to vote to see if Reverend Lee will be the one. And just a reminder, only members of the church can vote. You know, as Presbyterians, we believe that if you are called by God to be a minister, then the way we know that call, the way we confirm that call, is through a group of people, right? A group of believers. That's how we know that the call is genuine and from God. You can't just believe it yourself, right? If you say, oh, I know God is calling me, and nobody else believes it, then we say, as Presbyterians, we say, not a real call. You think so, you need everybody else to agree. When I decided to become a pastor, it wasn't just my decision that counted. I needed my home church to also agree. I said I felt like God was calling me to be a minister, but I could be crazy. But my home church said, yeah, maybe, sure, yes, we agree. And then not only was it my church that had to agree, I had to go to the presbytery and I had to meet with a committee. And those people had to hear my story and they also had to agree. Okay, yes, we agree that maybe you are being called by God. And then I had to do all the preparation, go to seminary, take the test, write all the papers, had more meetings. And then, even after all of that, it's not clear that God is calling you. The last step is a church has to say, we want you to be our pastor. And that's the confirmation. You have to feel it. The church that cared for you has to believe it. A presbytery has to agree to it. And finally, a church has to say, we want you to come and be our pastor. Every step involves a group of people all praying, trying to believe, discern, to listen to what God has to say before you can be called as a pastor. Right? It could stop any place. It could stop with me. I don't think I'm called. It could stop with my home church. Hey, you're a nice guy. We like you, but nah, you shouldn't be a minister. It could stop with a presbytery committee that said, no, we don't think you are called. And even if everybody agrees and there's no church that wants to hire me as a pastor, not called. So this thing that's about to happen at the meeting, you're participating in this process of many people deciding about how is someone called to be the pastor of a church. All these groups together agree that God is calling, and it's really a call. Reverend Lee already came and preached to you, and he's preaching to the TM today. You will vote, and if the majority vote yes, tomorrow he will meet with our presbytery committee, and they will examine him. And if they say yes, then it means that we all agree that God is calling him to be your next pastor, your next witness. And what is he witnessing to? That the love of God, whom we know in Jesus Christ, has no limits and no bounds, that you and I, we are children of God, created in God's image, and that God loves us no matter what, and that the Holy Spirit continues to guide us and help us to become better witnesses ourselves. You see, in the end, the pastor is not the only witness that's being called here. You and I, we're all witnesses. We're all being called to be witnesses to the love that we know in Jesus. It's an important day for the life of this church. I hope, if you're a member, that you will attend the meeting and participate as we all look forward to having another witness join us in the ministry. Let's pray together. God, you have always called men and women to be leaders in your church, in the past, in the present. We know that you will continue to call in the future men and women to be leaders in your church. We give you thanks that you entrust us to be your witnesses from here to every location that we would go. We give you thanks that you have given witnesses in each of our lives who testified, who could share what they heard and what they saw and how you were active in their lives. We pray that you will continue to give us both words and actions so that we can be witnesses for you. We pray this day not only for this congregation and this church, but we pray for our presbytery. We pray for all the churches in our area. Pray, O God, for our country and all the nations of the world. We continue to share concerns about those who have been victims of natural disasters, whether it's the volcano in Guatemala or in Hawaii, that there are people who are in danger, and we pray that you would help them and send those people who would help rescue and heal. We pray for our world because we know there continues to be war and there continues to be violence in so many parts of this world. We pray your presence of peace. Pray that you would help leaders of the world to find ways of cooperation, that war is not the answer. Continue to pray that you would help those who are most in need. We pray for our family and our friends, those who may be sick or in the hospital or just at home, lonely, in need of special care. Help us to know that maybe we can be that person who reaches out, who offers a reassuring word, who offers our comfort, telling them that indeed you are present and alive, caring for them as well. We ask, O God, that you would make us brave in doing all these things, that you would fill us with your compassion so that when we see others, we would see them as you see them. We pray, O God, that you would continue to use this church in a mighty way in this community and in the wider community for the many plans that we have, for the many hopes and dreams that we have. Pray them and we lift them up to you, for we know that you are a God who hears our prayers. For all these things, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.